are a lot of people in the world, including those who call themselves Christians, who are adversely affected by what we might style as negative emotions. Some of those are as follows: fear, anger, hatred, envy, sadness, and grief. In addition to those negative emotions, there is another, and it is referred to as worry. And I'll bet you, if we were to take a poll of this audience, how many of you at some point in your life have worried? Every one of us would check yes. There's been times when I have worried. That little word worried can be defined as follows, and I love this definition because of the intensity of those first two words: the torment and suffering that a person experiences. And notice where this torment and suffering is found. It is found in the mind of the individual, isn't it? The torment and suffering one has from disturbing thoughts about people, circumstances, and the future. This morning we want to spend a few moments and talk about this little thing called worry. And I've entitled the lesson as follows: Don't Be a Worrywart. And yet many of us are, aren't we? The first point that we want to consider is this: Bible admonitions. What in the world does the Bible have to say about worry? I want us to look at two or three passages of Scripture. The first comes from Psalm 37. Three times in that psalm, David makes this statement: Fret not thyself. It's found in verse 1, verse 7, and verse 8. That little word fret means worry. To have those disturbing thoughts, to be individuals who are extremely anxious and individuals who are fearful and deeply concerned about things. Fret not thyself. We turn into the New Testament and we begin to read through the Sermon on the Mount, and we get to the 6th chapter, and guess what Jesus starts talking about? He starts talking about worry. And three times Jesus says this: take no thought. Take no thought. Take no thought. Remember where those negative ideas begin? They begin in the mind, do they not? That's where our worries are. And yet, here Jesus is. He says, I want you to take no thought about all those things that so many people are worried about. In fact, there's another time in that text that he asks a question: And why take ye thought? Why are you so worried? Why are you so concerned? Why are you so anxious? Don't do this, he's saying. We turn over to the book of Philippians, and Paul says this: Be careful for nothing. Man, be careful for nothing. That little word careful means worried, anxious, and concerned. Isn't that amazing? The admonitions from the Old Testament and the New Testament from the very Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is this: Don't you worry about anything. Unbelievable. And yet, we do, don't we? In fact, we don't worry about nothing. We worry about everything, oftentimes. Let's look at point number two. What do we worry about? Oh, man. We could be here for a couple of days, could we not? If we listed everything everybody worries about. So I'm not going to get into just little minute details, okay? In fact, you might be a little bit shocked about the things that we put on this particular list. Are you ready for the first one? About 40% of everything we worry about never happens. There you go. We worry about things that never happen. Yesterday, that thunderstorm came up here in the Beaches area. Kathleen and I had gone riding our bikes. We see that storm coming in. I'm going, ugh, we're going to get soaked. So we come in real quickly, and I say, you know what? We need to go to Walmart. And she said, I ain't going to Walmart. We're going to BJ's. Okay, we'll go to BJ's. So I'm thinking, we're going to get soaked. And I've been soaked before getting groceries and stuff. We're just going to be soaked. We go in, we spend about 40, 45 minutes in BJ's. We come out, we get home, we get all the groceries put up, and then it starts raining. I've been worried about rain for 2 hours, and I never got wet. You see, we worry about stuff that what? That never comes to pass. The second thing, we worry about the past that, guess what? We can't change. You can't change the past. And yet we just fret and we worry and are so concerned about it, thinking about it all the time. I love this next one. About 12% of our worries relates to the criticism of others. Boy, other people always have an opinion about somebody, don't they? And many times the opinions that they give are unfounded, and we need to remember that they are exactly that. They're just what? Opinions. Your opinion in $5 will get you a latte at Starbucks. Want it? That's how much opinions are worth. And yet, I'm so concerned about what somebody thinks about me. And that person will make you think that the thought that he has about you is the most important thought in all the world. And we go home and we ruminate about it. Can't sleep, toss and turn. Unbelievable, isn't it? About 10% of the things we worry about involve our health. And the more we worry about our health, guess what? The more it impacts our health in a negative way. Oh, I got heart issues. Oh, I'm overweight. Oh, I got cholesterol problems. Oh, I got this, I got that. I'm going to be dementia pretty soon. It's just unbelievable. All the stuff people, you know. And then all of a sudden, guess what? We got all that stuff, don't we? Well, one of the reasons you got it is because you've been thinking about it for 10 years. Of all the things that we can worry about, watch this. Only about 8% of the things we worry about are reality. Isn't that unbelievable? 8% of the things we worry about are really something that needs to be a worry. Blows my mind. So those are the things we worry about. Are there Bible examples of people who worried? Oh, yes, there are. Numerous individuals who worried. One of the first was a man by the name of Jacob. We all know Jacob, don't we? Jacob had a brother named Esau, and Jacob was not a very good brother early on, was he? Stole his birthright, stole his blessing, and guess what that did? That chapped Esau, didn't it? And Esau was out to kill him, and because of that, he had to flee from his home for a long period of time. But in Genesis 32, we find that he decides to return to his home. Well, guess who's still there? Esau is still there, isn't he? So before he gets there, Jacob sends messengers to Esau. And the reason he sends them is to see whether or not I'm going to find grace in my brother's sight. Is he still angry? Is he still upset? Or is he going to forgive me? In what condition is my brother Esau? Well, the messengers come back, and guess what they tell Jacob? Jacob, your brother's coming. And he's not coming alone. He's coming with 400 men. Now, I don't know about you. That's a lot of men, isn't it? That sounds like an army, doesn't it? Oh, no. 400 men. You want to know Jacob's reaction? He was worried. The Bible says this. Then Jacob was greatly afraid. Listen to that next one. And what? And distressed. Go home and read the rest of the text today. He divides his family up into three different categories, does he not? As they approach Esau. Because if that first line gets killed, guess what? The second and third can run. If the second line gets killed, he and his close family can run. He is worried to death about his life, isn't he? Keep reading in the book of Genesis, and we get to the 50th chapter, and guess who's worried now? Now it's Joseph's brothers, isn't it? And they have a lot to worry about. These were not pristine brothers. They hated Joseph, didn't they? They had taken Joseph and sold him into slavery, and he had been gone from his family over 20 years until they were finally reunited in the land of Egypt. Not only their brothers, but also their father was there, and their father died in the land of Egypt. And when he died, those brothers were greatly distressed. They were convinced that now that our dad has died, Joseph is still going to be angry, and Joseph is going to requite the evil that we placed upon him. And that's exactly what they say. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us. And certainly he will requite the evil which we did unto him. He'll do unto us as we did unto him." That's a little bit to worry about, is it not? Your own life. Deep concern. Wow. Did David ever have anything to worry about? From the very moment that he came in contact with King Saul until the death of Saul, there was worry, wasn't there? And David admits that there were times when he was greatly distressed. How long shall I take counsel? Notice what he says, in my soul. How long? Having sorrow in my heart daily. There's 150 Psalms. Just go home and read them tonight. That's a joke. But notice all the times that David said he was distressed, that he was distraught, that he wept, that he couldn't sleep, that he tossed and turned upon his bed. Folks, what is it that causes a man to do that? It's worry, is it not? And David admits it. Were the apostles ever worried? On one occasion in the ministry of Jesus, Jesus is standing before the scribes and Pharisees. And they ask him why he was in violation, or at least his disciples, were in violation of the tradition of the elders. And immediately Jesus takes the opportunity and says, "What my guys are doing is nothing compared to what you're doing. Your traditions violate the very commands of God." Who's he talking to? Folks, he's talking to the Sanhedrin. He's talking to these individuals who have great power in Israel. These are the individuals who can make arrest, who judge trials, who can sentence to life or death. And Jesus has ticked those men off. And they let Jesus know about it. Then came his disciples and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying, Jesus? Don't you know that you've ticked off the Pharisees? Don't you realize what you've done? You've made them angry. You need to be what? Worried about that." You can go home tonight and read Jesus' response to that, which I find very interesting. Here's a woman who was worried, wasn't it? Martha. Martha had a friend, a very good friend, by the name of Jesus. And Martha had a home. And Jesus oftentimes visited her in her home. And on this particular occasion, he came not alone, but he came with all 12 of his apostles. Her home was opened up, and those apostles were gathered round, and Martha, being the owner of the house and being the host, thought, "I need to do everything I can to make everything spectacular." And she did. She had a sister by the name of Mary who oftentimes helped her, but not on this occasion. Oh no. Martha's in the kitchen. She's going to the dining room, and every time she passes by, she looks in the living room, and who does she see? Her sister Mary, sitting there at the feet of Jesus, doing nothing. Now, I put that "nothing" in quotation marks, okay? Because she's doing something, isn't she? And every time, I can just see her. She walks by, and she sees her, and she just gets what? More upset. And finally, she has the gumption to go to Jesus, doesn't she? And Martha said, and Martha, being covered about much serving, came to Jesus and said unto him, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister Mary hath left me alone to serve? Bid her therefore that she help me. I can't do this all by myself. I'm worried about making certain everything is perfect for my guest. And she's so worried that she does what? She acts like it's Jesus' fault, doesn't you? You should have looked at that woman right square in the eyes when she is sitting at your feet and said, get in there and help that sister. That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? Unbelievable. See, we can worry about little bitty things like taking care of our guest to the best of our ability, or we can worry about huge things like whether our life is going to be taken from us or not, can't we? Folks, the things we can worry about have a huge, huge perspective. Are there any negative aspects of worry? Oh, yeah. Number one, worry steals our peace and our joy. Watch this. Has anyone ever seen a happy worrier? Have you ever seen a guy walking down the street and he's just singing a song? He's just skipping along, got a little dance to his step. And you say, man, what in the world is wrong with you? I'm just worried to death. You've never seen a person like that. But guess what? Martha was not a happy person, was she? When she approached the Christ, she was upset. Lord, don't you care? You need to tell her to get in here and help me. She was not a happy camper. Folks, anytime you and I are worrying about something, we cannot be happy. Worry steals our joy and happiness. Number two, worry can harm us physically. Listen to what the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 12:25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Folks, anytime we are experiencing negative emotions, worry included, it is not helping our physical man whatsoever. In fact, we're harming our physical man. And before long, before we know it, we've got other problems, medical problems that we are dealing with, all because of what? All because we let worry consume us. Worry doesn't solve a lick of problems. Do you know that? This may surprise you, but I am not the tallest person on the earth. I get told that pretty regular. You know it? 5'7", soon to be 5'6", or 5'5", from what I hear. Now, I could go around every day, and I could worry about that, couldn't I? Oh, I'm 5'6". I never have been able to touch a 10-foot rim. And if something doesn't happen and I get a little bit taller, I'm never going to be able to do that. I'm never going to be able to brag about that to anybody. And I could worry myself sick about that, could I not? And guess what? I could worry about from now till I die, and they're still going to put me in a 5.5-foot coffin. Aren't they? Well, 18-inch jar. That's another joke. I can't get y'all to laugh for nothing today. It's unbelievable. Look what Jesus says. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Can anybody in here do that? No. I'd be foolish to worry about that, wouldn't I? You see, worrying never has solved one problem. Not one. Unbelievable. I love this next one. Worry distracts us from God-given obligations and responsibilities. A while ago we mentioned Jesus' section on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. And in that section, the whole section, he's talking about worry, folks. And the very first thing he talks about are the things that we worry about. And one of the things that many individuals worry about are just the basic necessities of life, don't we? How am I going to put food on the table? How am I going to pay my bills? Am I going to have a roof over my head? How in the world am I going to pay for all of these clothes that me and my family need? And we just worry and worry and worry about those things. And Jesus knows that. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. A while ago we just made mention of the fact that he said take no thought, didn't we? Now we know what he's talking about. You quit worrying about the basics of life. You quit worrying about food. You quit worrying about drink. You quit worrying about the clothes that you've got to put on. Quit worrying about all that stuff. Because the more you worry about that and the more you're focused upon that, guess what? The less you do for God Almighty. And it's true. Notice the responsibility. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. There's what I should be focused on. That's what I should be doing. But as long as I'm focused on these worldly things, these basic necessities of life, guess what? Sometimes I let the kingdom slide, don't I? It needs to be just the opposite, folks. Quit worrying about things on the earth and focus yourself where? Upon God. Wow. Worry keeps us focused on our problems, doesn't it? I want you to look at this in Matthew 6 again, because Jesus constantly points these individuals to the Father. The Father feeds the birds of the air. Your Father in heaven clothes the grass of the field. Isn't that amazing? How important is a sparrow? Little bitty bird. Hold him in your hand and you wouldn't even hardly know that you got the sparrow in your hand. You know that? Doesn't have a soul. Occupies very little importance on the earth. There may be only a handful of people who ever hear him chirp. And yet the Bible says God feeds those little birds the grass of the field. Ugh. And yet you drive down the highway and sometimes some of the prettiest grass you'll ever see is where that grass is clothed in wildflowers, isn't it? Unbelievable. Who puts that there, folks? God does. If He'll feed birds, if He'll clothe grass, don't you think He can feed me and clothe me? See, He points them to who? Points them to the Father. He also says this, God knows all the things that you have need of. He knows you need food. He knows you have need drink. He knows you need clothes. God knows every bit of that. And if you know He knows that you need those things, trust Him to provide those things for you. Quit worrying about your problems and just focus on who? Just focus on God. Worry brings defeat, doesn't it? Worry brings defeat. Many have worried themselves to death, haven't they? But guess what? No one has ever worried himself to victory. Nobody. So let's talk about this last point. How in the world do we overcome worry? Remember, the Bible says what? Be careful for what? For nothing. Nothing. So how in the world do I do that? Number one, view our worries correctly. There's a man by the name of Seneca, and he says this, we suffer more from imagination than we do from reality. That's what we were talking about in our second point in this lesson, was it not? 40% of the things we worry about never happen. 30% involve the past that we cannot change. 12% involves the opinions of men that usually have no foundation whatsoever. Anybody add that up? 82% of our worries. And yet I let those things consume my life, don't I? 82% of my worries are totally, completely unfounded, don't need to be there, and yet I'm worrying about them. Here's the question I need to ask myself. Why am I worrying about this at all? Why? Second point. If there's a worry that you can do something about, then what? Do it! And quit worrying about it. Isn't that right? You got a child. He's got a test on Friday, right? Ma, I got a test on Friday. And I just can't sleep. You can't sleep? No, I'm just so worried about it. What does Mama say? Well, you just go in and keep worrying. No. You know what she's going to tell that kid? You need to get in your room and study, boy. If we need to get you a tutor, we'll get you a tutor, won't we? Whatever you need in order to pass that test, we'll do it. But worrying isn't going to make you an A on that test. You can do something about this. I see a lot of people gripe about finances, don't you? Oh, I'm just in such a financial bind. Oh, I can't pay my bills. And they're just worried about all kinds of stuff with their finances. Quit worrying. You want to know why? There's things you can do to make it better, can't you? There's steps you can do to control all of those financial issues that you have. Now, you may not like them, but there's things you can do. You can go get you a better job. And if you don't know no better, then you can go get you some training for a better job. And if you don't want to go get training, then go get you a second job. Right? I've had 3 or 4 jobs at one time in my life trying to pay the bills because I knew my worrying wasn't going to put food in them little kids' mouth. Get you a financial counselor. Get on a budget. Keep a record of all your expenses and see all the junk that you're spending your money on. Do something about your finances. How about this next one? Oh, I'm in such bad health. I just got terrible health. Now, there's some people who can't help their health. They have serious conditions, serious illnesses. But you know, there's a lot of people who complain about their health. That all they need to do is do some healthy things. You know that? Eat right. Eat right. McDonald's is out. Salmon is in. Isn't that right? Whoppers are out. Salads are in. Ugh, salads. I like everything to do with a salad except lettuce. That's the truth. Go see your doctor regularly. If you need medications, guess what? Get on the medications. I just don't like being medicated. Get on the medications. Unbelievable. Well, I'll die of liver disease. When? About 90. 90? So from 40 to 90, you're just going to take no medicines and feel miserable. Don't do that to yourself. Get plenty of rest. Isn't it amazing? We would rather worry about things than do something about it. You know that? One man made this statement. If you don't like something, change it. And then he went on to say this. If you can't change it, change the way you think about it. Change the way you think about it. So true, isn't it? The last point, and this is the hardest. We must trust in God rather than be concerned about our worries, folks. Got to. I could spend a whole lengthy time talking about who God is, couldn't I? Who is God? Folks, He is ruler. He is Lord. He is sovereign over all. God is a God of great power. We refer to Him as the Almighty God. He is the Omnipotent One. He is a God who has unlimited resources. He has resources on this earth. He has resources in heaven that you and I cannot even see. Our God is an all-wise God, is He not? And guess what? God loves us and God cares for us. That's who God is in just a few brief statements. That's who I am telling you right now. Put your trust in Him and quit what? Quit worrying. Quit worrying. Wow. Several passages of Scripture. Trust in the Lord and do good. And notice what will happen. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and what? Thou shalt be fed. Trust in God. You'll dwell in the land and you'll be fed. Psalm 37 verse 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Your food, your clothing, your shelter, your basics of life. Seek God first. He'll make certain you have all the necessities. Now you may not have a bass boat, and you may not get to take a trip around the world, but guess what? Your basic necessities will be provided. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter 5 verse 7. Folks, the Bible tells us over and over and over again, you trust God. Now watch this. If I really trust God, when I have a worry come up in my life, you want to know where I need to take it? I need to take it right to the throne of the Almighty God. That's where I need to take it. A while ago we talked about Philippians 3 verse 6, didn't we? Notice what the text really says. Be careful for nothing. You quit worrying about anything. But what? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I know this isn't easy. You know that? It's not easy. But it's exactly what God expects. When I have worry, when I have anxieties, when I have concerns, folks, those things can be like a 1,000-pound weight on my shoulders, can't they? And you know what I need to do? I need to march right into the throne room of the Almighty God. And I need to take them off my back and I need to throw them right down at the feet of God. And I need to tell Him this, Father, I can't take care of this. I can't handle this. I can't solve this problem. You take care of it. And even Christians have problems doing that, don't they? We'll throw it at His feet. We'll talk all about it. And then we'll leave and we'll still just be as worried as stink. Folks, that is a lack of faith in the Almighty God. You throw it at His feet and you get up from that prayer and you quit worrying about it. God has told you, I'll take care of this. I'll handle these things for you. How do you know that, Vic? Because of the promise found in Philippians 4 verse 7. Remember a while ago He says, be careful for nothing, but take it to God in prayer, didn't He? Take it to God in prayer. Now He says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you'll take it to God and give it to Him, you can get up from that prayer, and the peace of God will keep your heart. I don't know about you. I want God's peace in my life. Worry is an emotion that's common to man, isn't it? Extremely common, even among Christians. And yet, that's one thing that can bring great harm and great distress to our life. But it's wonderful to know we can conquer it, can't we? How do we do that? Number one, view your worries correctly. Quit worrying about things that you don't need to worry about. Quit worrying about things you can't change. Quit worrying about a bunch of people who've got a bunch of opinions that mean about as much as your opinions do. Secondly, if there are things you're worrying about that you can change, then guess what? Just change them. Find a way to change them. And whatever you can't change, if it is a true worry, if it is a true concern, whatever it is that's there, guess what you do with those? You take those to God and you say, God, you handle those. Write this verse down. Beautiful verse. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Listen to what the prophet says. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. I don't know about you, that's what I want, don't you? Not just peace. I want perfect peace. Folks, when there's peace, there's tranquility. Isn't there? There's absolutely no turmoil, no anxiety, no fears, perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. But notice the next point, whose mind is stayed upon thee. You want to escape worry, there's only one being you need to be focused on at all times, and guess who that is? That's the Almighty God. And your heart has to be stayed upon Him. Don't vacillate between God and your worries. You keep your heart, your mind focused right on Him. And notice what will happen. Because He trusteth in thee. Because I have faith and my mind is stayed on my God and I know His promises are true and I know how big and how good He is, guess what? I can always have perfect peace as the child of God. When Jesus was in the upper room, did He know what was coming? Oh yeah, He knew exactly what was coming. In fact, even in the upper room, He told them what's about to happen. When He enters into the garden, there's a deep concern on His heart, isn't there? My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. But what did He do with it? He went right to the throne of God three times, didn't He? And once He left that third time, you never, ever, ever see Jesus fretting, worrying, sorrowing, grieving, being concerned about what's to happen to Him. He left all of that where? He left all of that at the throne of God. That's what we have to do. If I truly want peace in my life. What a blessing. You and I can live worry-free if we so desire. Are you a child of God? My friend, if not, you've got a lot to worry about. And guess what? Those worries are a part of that 12% of reality, aren't they? Jesus said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That tells me the rest of them won't be there. Have you done the will of God? Have you believed in the Christ as the Son of God? Jesus said, for if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. John 8, 32. You need to repent of sin or perish. Luke 13, 3. Jesus says, you need to confess me before men, because if you don't, I will deny you before the Father, which is in heaven, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And then Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16, 16. You need to obey the gospel, dear Christian. Are you faithful, dedicated, serving God the way you ought? There's an old song we sing and it says this, are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? You need to respond to this invitation. Won't you come as we stand and sing?